In your Bibles this morning to John, the fourth chapter, John chapter 4. And Brother Bill, I'm afraid to ask you what that's in. You know, we all mess up. I tell you, I've had my share of blunders over the year, and I'm just glad somebody else does. Makes me feel right at home, brother. I can't even get my glasses out of my pocket. Too much stuff in there. John chapter 4, starting with verse 34, the words of Jesus. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of God," or of Him who sent me, "and to finish His work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he and who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For this is the saying, is true, one sows and another reaps." Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, today we are so thankful that we can come to you in prayer. Lord, I'm thankful for the Word of God who speaks to our hearts. Lord, I just ask you that your Holy Spirit quicken our hearts to the words today. Let us open the eyes of our understanding that we might be enlightened, and our ears, Lord, that we might hear. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And God, we give you all the praise and glory for everything that happens. For it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Now, I'm excited about this new year. God is the giver of new things. He always gives us things. And in the New Testament, He gives us a message here of a life. And when we receive that message of life, we becomes a new birth in our life. If you're here this morning and you've never received the Word of God into your heart, you've never asked Christ to forgive you of your sins, you never... then this morning, may you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I think I would just say this is a challenge for you, or nigh, for a new year. Now, as the new year begins, we are aware of just how fast time is moving, folks. It's moving fast. I was talking to someone this week. You're here one day and you're gone tomorrow. The years seem to be flying by. But listen to what the Bible also says. He says, "This I say to you, brethren, the time is short." Time is short. Now is the time, today, which we live. And many of us have lived our lives and we've seen many, many changes in technology. The telephones. I think about that telephone. They're always giving us a new version of that telephone. It's changing. Computers have changed. Our televisions have changed. Our cars have changed. The planes that we fly in have changed. All in my short lifetime, most of them. In the last 60-something years, boy, things have really changed. And from the day of our Lord until 1830, man could not travel by nothing but foot and horse. Now you think about that. From the time Christ lived to 1830, you could not travel unless it was by foot or horse. And then in 1960, man went into outer space, went to the moon, 18,000 something miles away into outer space. Someone said, "If my grandfather was alive today, he could never believe the changes that have been made in these short years." And the Bible tells us about the time in which we live, and we better believe that we are in the last days. We're in those times. Times are changing. Today we're seeing, I believe as never before, the collapse of time. Time is collapsing upon us as a nation. We better get busy. Time is collapsing upon us as the world and as a church even. We see the differences in churches over the past 40 years. We see the difference in our nation. And as time flies, we see the difference in our individual lives. And while we have been born into an amazing time, I believe some things have not changed. Some things have not changed. Man has not changed. Man is still corruptible in his life. We see the corruption even growing as we speak here. People are dying. People are committing crime. Things like that. Man is a sinner. He's born into sin. We continue to be born into sin. And the Bible says the heart of man is deceitful. It's deceitful. Above all things, he's desperately wicked. So man needs to have a change in his life. We need a change in our life. Now, in 2018, we saw many things happen, but we need a purpose for 2019. We need that purpose in life to keep going. Man needs a power outside of himself that only Jesus Christ can provide in his life. And the Bible teaches that God has not changed. In the Word of God, he says, I am the Lord, I change not. I'm from everlasting to everlasting. God never changes. Salvation. Oh, I hear the world today says there are many ways to get to heaven, but salvation has not changed. It is still by Jesus Christ, through the blood, through the new birth, that will never change. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to me but by my Father. The point of this is, time, folks, is very short. And Jesus says, the harvest is already ready. These men have gone into Samaritan town, and there's a woman at the well. Here's a story. And Jesus talks to her about the water of life. The water that if you drink, he says, you'll never thirst. And he begins to tell her what's going on in her life. Oh, she changed her life, and immediately she run back into that town. Now, let me ask you something. There's disciples in that town buying food. They didn't see the harvest was ready. They didn't see any people that needed to be saved. They saw the Samaritans. They saw them as lower than dogs. Why should we want to speak to them? Think about it. They went into that town, and they come back. And Jesus says, I got meat that you know not of, the will of my Father, the work of my Father. And they begin to think, what in the world is going on? They went into that town. And just like you and I, so many times, we walk past lost people every day. We have an opportunity to witness to them. But somehow or another, we say, you know, I don't really care about that. Just let them go. They wouldn't want to listen anyhow. That's what the disciples probably thought. But the woman went back into that town. And she says, come, see this man that's told me about the living waters. And boy, I tell you what, she got their attention, didn't she? And Jesus says, look at all these people coming. The harvest is ready. Now it's ready. You didn't see that, but she did. And boy, I tell you what, Jesus says the time is short. You see, the brevity of time we need to realize, folks. However you notice how quickly, you know, time seems to travel and get by. It only seems like yesterday that we were starting a new year in 2018, but it's already gone. It's gone, and 2019 is upon us. It seemed like only a few days ago that I was accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior, but it's been over 40-something years since I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And it seemed like only a few brief years. You know, I was fortunate. I was married one of the greatest girls in the world. Man, for 46 years we've been married, and it's time has just flown by. And I think, boy, time is short. It seemed like only yesterday that God called me to preach, but that's been over 34 years ago. And every once in a while I look at this and I say, oh, Lord, the time is short. It's flying by. What have I done? And the scripture says, thou hast made my days as a hand's breadth, and my age is nothing before thee. The Bible says life is like a vapor. It's here for a short time and just disappears. It passes away. So God's word says the days of my years are 70, folks. That's the average person, meaning he's 70 years. What happens to time? I could ask the oldest person in here today, and he'd say, it just flew by. Time is short. Now let me ask you, how are you going to spend those years that you have left? How are you going to spend the years that you have left? More importantly, how are you going to spend this day that you have left? We don't know how long we've got. But how are you going to spend today? You know, man, in the 70 years, I found this article I wrote years ago, the first 15 years, you're in childhood, adolescence. And I know some that of you are a little longer than that. 20 years of your life are spent in bed. The last 5 years, let me tell you something, you got physical limitations upon your body. It curtails our activities greatly. That leaves about 30 years that you have. And I've already said 30 years passes by so fast. Now you think about it. Some of you are young people, you started out. I heard someone say this morning, I believe it's him was coming out of Sunday school, I'm in my prime. I'm 50. What did you say you were, 51? 51. He's just a baby over here. But let me tell you something. That 51 years be gone in a minute. And let me tell you something. Your prime, you said you was in your prime. When you get to 60, that's about all of it. Prime is gone. Brother, I've watched over the years. I like to be outdoors, and I used to run like a jackrabbit. And I could run all day long. I can't even run to the back of the building now. If I did, somebody would be taking me to the doctor with a heart attack, I guarantee you. We are told that the average person watches TV 7 years. Can you imagine that? And 15 years of our life are eating and working. Let me tell you something. Time is short. Time is short, folks. We don't have much time. It's like that vapor. It's gone. Isaiah says in the word, mine age is departed. It is removed as the shepherd's tent. So he says the brevity of time is very short in your life. Now, if there's a shortness of time in your life, it also means that today there's an urgency in our life. There's an urgency in that time. Jesus says, now the harvest is ready. You see, there's an urgency to reach people for Jesus Christ. We're not going to have a whole lot of more years. Even if we live to be 100, which we probably won't, that's not very long to reach the lost people and around us. You see, the Bible says we are to redeem the time, for the days are evil that which we live. Ephesians 5:16. Now I could preach a week's sermons on the days are evil. We live in evil days. Never before in my life have I seen people kill innocent kids. Never before in my life that we hear about bombings. Never before in life I hear about shootings in churches and the malls and everywhere else. Never before in my life have we heard so much on drugs and alcohol in our culture. Our days are evil, folks. We live in evil time. And Jesus says we are to redeem that time. What does that mean? It simply means we are to buy back. If we're going to live our life, we need to buy back the time because the days are evil. That means there is a price to pay if we're to buy back the time. There is a price in our life that we have to pay. Paul said, you once walked according to the course of this world. That's evil. I can remember my younger days. I didn't know Jesus Christ. And I did some pretty evil things, pretty hard things. I was lost. I wasn't covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. If I'd have died, I'd have spent eternity in hell. Oh, I walked according to the course of the world. But one day I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I asked Him to come into my life, and He changed my life. He bought me back. You see, He died on the cross. He paid the price for my sins. And now I want to fulfill the desires that He has me to, not the desires of the course of this world. You see, many people are doing what they want to do. They're wasting their lives. They're living in the flesh. That is the world's way of doing. But you are no longer to live that way in Christ. There's a hope. There's a change in your life that takes place when you come to know Jesus Christ. And you do what He wills you to do. He said, I came to do the will of my Father and finish the work that He's called me to do. Folks, there's a shortness of time and there's an urgency of time. Even today, as we sit here, people are dying and going to hell every minute. Now, how are you going to redeem the time? Jesus says, you know, we've got all the same amount of time, every one of us. There's 24 hours in a day. Man, we've got some work to do. I said, I must preach the gospel. I must be about my Father's business. There's an urgency of time, even in Christ's life. He made every single minute count, and yet He lived in a peace that passes all understanding. Folks, I believe when we have the peace of God ruling our heart, I believe when we live according to God's will, there'll be a peace about our lives. Now is the time to serve God. Now is the day, He said, of salvation. Now is the time to make a commitment to God. You see, it's urgent. And yet some of you are sitting by the wayside. You're thinking, why should I do this? Why should I do that? Because I'll tell you, there's coming a day when you'll not be able to do that. Folks, as a child, I laughed and wept. Time crept. As a youth, I dreamed and talked. Time walked. As I grew older, time flew. As I became a man, time ran. And soon I'll be traveling on because time is gone. Jesus said, say not ye, there are 4 months, and then comes the harvest. I say to you, behold, look at the fields, for they are already white unto harvest. Now this is the first Sunday of a new year. You don't have 4 months to wait. Don't say there's plenty of time. Don't live as though life will continue to go on and on and on, and put off doing for God what you need to do today, because we may not have a tomorrow. Jesus says the fields are white today. There's people that you know and I know that need Jesus Christ today. There's an urgency of that time because time is short. Did you know that 9/10 of all people are saved by the age of 18? I look at these little people up here every Sunday morning, these children that come, and I am so thankful that their parents are bringing them, that they're learning about the Word of God, because they're in the prime time to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. After 18, 95 out of 100 are saved by in 25 years. Between 25 and 35, one in a 10,000 come to know Jesus Christ. By the age of 35 to 45, one in 50,000. Listen, by the age of 55 to 65, it's one in 300,000. Folks, time is short, and there's an urgency about the time. Jesus says, look around you, guys. Look around you. The fields are already white. The people need Christ. Time is short. There's an urgency about it. And then we have not only that, we have the message of time. If there's anything in our life that time teaches us, it's the lessons that we learn through the Word of God. The lesson of sober reflection. I thought Brother Bill was going to preach on it this morning, or Teddy was going to talk about it this morning as he read Scripture. Sober reflection. Think about it. After a year, I think we need to reflect back and evaluate our year. In the light of God's Word, in the light of His will, examine your life. What have I done for Jesus Christ this past year? I told our staff and I told our deacons, we're going to set some goals for this next year. I believe we need to set some goals. I used to set goals all the time, but somehow or another, I've been slacking off. And I'm just as guilty as you are. And I look back over the last year, I said, Lord, what in the world have I done for you? And I asked myself, how many people have I led to Jesus Christ in the last year? And I'm ashamed, folks. I'm ashamed because there's a lot of people today that probably won't ever hear the message of God because I was like His disciples. I didn't look at them as lost. That's sad, isn't it? And at the end of the year, many businesses, I heard somebody say this morning, they was taking inventory. As believers, we ought to take an inventory of our life and set some goals for this new year. You see, it's a new beginning we have in life. Regardless of the mistakes, Paul says, forget the past. Confess those sins and forget the past. You see, think about the victories of the past year, but forget the past. Learn from day to day and move on to God's glory for 2019. See where you are with Jesus Christ. Where does your life stand this morning with Jesus Christ? It's a time we need to really reflect. What have I done with Jesus? Did I accomplish any spiritual goals last year? Let me tell you something. If you didn't set a goal, you certainly didn't accomplish it. I'm going to ask you, as an individual, would you set a goal in your life? A simple goal that you can reach, that you can do. Would you set a goal? Maybe one person I'll witness to a month. Would you do that? Or would you pray for one Sunday school member every week? Or would you call a person on your class roll that hasn't been here in a while? Would you do that? That's an easy goal, isn't it? That's something that's attainable. All you have to do is get a list of your Sunday school. Could you call that list? Could you call those people and say, listen, I'm so glad I saw you in Sunday school Sunday morning. We're growing and we want to do more for the Lord. Or you can call that person that's not there and say, I missed you in Sunday school Sunday morning, or Bible study, whatever you want to call it. Would you come join in with us? We're setting some new goals for our Sunday school. We want to reach some new heights in our Sunday school. You can do that. That's an attainable thing in your life. I'm going to ask you to do that, and then I'm going to let you reflect on it every day for the year. Then I want you to grow in your grace. You know, we all need to grow in God's grace. We need to forgive and forget some things. We need to grow. Was your life what God wanted it to be? Ask yourself, is my life what God wants me to be? I think if your life is what God wants you to be, you're going to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. You see, time teaches us a time of sober reflection upon our life. And then it teaches us something we need, a sincere repentance. Repentance is a time of a new direction in our life. That's what it means. Turn around. Change directions. Boy, am I willing to change the direction of my life? I think every one of us, if we look at our lives and we think about it, we could change the direction in our life or change the gears in our life to win people to Christ, to make sure we was at Bible study. You know, repentance means wiping that old slate clean and starting over. Forget the past. Reach for the future as a believer. I don't care what failures you had last year. Confess them and forget them. The mistakes, man, we've all made them. I made them last year. Forget them. The year is a new beginning. I told our staff the other day, and as a staff, we're going to set some new things in our life, new opportunities, new goals that we would like to see accomplished. You know, if you don't set a goal, you're not going to reach it. You're not even going to shoot at it. But if you set that goal, then you have something to pray about, something to reach for. Whatever the past was, for good or bad, put it in the sea of God's forgiveness and forget about it. Claim the blood of Jesus Christ over your life. He will forgive you. Although Paul said, I am the chief of sinners, he said, I've asked God to forgive me. See, those are goals that we can reach. Paul could have bragged about all his learning. He could have bragged about his character. He could have bragged about his accomplishment, but he didn't those. He said, I press to the mark of the high calling of God. Repentance, folks, is a change of direction. Time teaches something else. It teaches a serious resolution. Paul said, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God. Paul was serious in his service to Christ. He accepted nothing less than the best. He wanted to be filled with the Spirit of God every day. He wanted to walk in the victory of Jesus Christ. No wonder when he came to his end of his life, he said, I have fought a good fight. I've finished the course. Man, I've been faithful to his call. Service is serious because time is short. The harvest is ready. Do you know what the next year will bring? I don't. But if I make a serious resolution to serve Christ, I know I will do what he wants me to do and follow his will. I know that my life will make a difference. It'll make a difference in my own life. It'll make a difference in my family's life. It'll make a difference in this church life. It'll make a difference in your wife's life. When you serve God, ask him to change your life, it's going to make a difference. Someone said, I want to live that kind of life for God. But I'm afraid, preacher, I just can't live it. Well, the Bible teaches that none of us can live it. But only through Jesus Christ and through his power and through his strength can we live that kind of life. You have to go to God in prayer on a daily basis. You have to read the Word of God on a daily basis. You have to ask God to move you in the direction. You see, How in the world can I reach heaven? Only through Jesus Christ. And make sure every step that you make in 2019 is in that direction. It's towards the high calling of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you, as a Sunday school, in your class, teachers, would you just take about 5 or 6 minutes and get your people in that Sunday school class to strive for a goal? Strive for a goal. I know we can't be here every single Sunday, but most of the time we can, can't we? It may mean some of you have to get up an hour early to start getting ready. If you've got kids, let me tell you something. I had two boys. You have to get up 3 hours early. I would say, get out of bed, boys. It's time to go to church. And I'd say that about 3 times before they ever moved. Now, if you was like my daddy, he said one time, and next time you got a belt. That got me up. And I didn't want that anymore. But folks, we need to make a new resolution in our life that we're going to serve God this next year. And our starts with our own individual lives, setting goals that we want to see Jesus glorified in our lives. Now, the first step that you need to do, if you've never done that, is to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. You see, you're not on the road to heaven. Without Christ, you're on the road to defeat. You're on the road to death. You're on the road to a place called hell. You need to change that direction. You need to come to Christ. That's the first thing you can give him, is your life. And say, Lord, I want you to come into my life this morning. I want to serve you. I want eternal life. I want to reach other people for Jesus Christ. I want to make my life count for you. First step is to give your life by faith. I want to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to trust him this morning. I want to follow him this morning. I want to live for him this morning. Now, if you're already saved and you're a Christian, would you make a goal? Set a goal. Set a goal in your Christian life. I don't know what you need to do, but you do. You know where you're falling short. I know many of us need to set a goal that we'll be in church, that we'll come, we'll study, we'll grow, we'll help any way we can. Folks, 2019 is here. It'll fly by. The first thing you know, we'll be seeing kids out of school, vacation Bible school. It'll happen just like that. Brother Bob Pittman's going to be with us the end of March and the 1st of April, right? April and May, okay? You had it. Brother Bob Pittman will be here. Man, wouldn't it be nice if I'd make a goal, I'm going to be here for a revival every night, every day. Set that goal. Vacation Bible School is going to be here. Oh, what an opportunity to reach kids for Christ. Our camps will be upon us. They'll fly by. Then the living Christmas tree. Oh, man, I know it'll be here before you know it. And then the end of the year. And we'll look back and we can say, we reached these goals for Christ. We'll see our attendance go up. We'll see more than anything our lives grow because we set a goal. You see, set a target to reach to. If we don't, you're not going to hit it. Would you do that? Maybe you're here today and you're looking for a church home. This is the place God's led you. Man, why don't you come be a part of what God's going to do? We're going to have a blessed, glorious year in 2019. I hope you will do what I ask you to do in the Bible study time, in the teacher's time where we teach, come to Sunday school. I hope and pray you'll set a goal and you'll reach that goal. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that the fields are white. There's lost people out there that we need to touch, that we need to make a difference in this city. But we can't do it if we don't look to the fields and see them as lost. Lord, I pray that we won't let a day go by that we don't tell somebody about the love of Christ and what you mean in our life. Lord, that we'll be excited about reaching people once again for you. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning that's lost, they've never made a profession of faith, it's very simple that they might just get up and come to the front and just say, "Preacher, I want to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior." And I'll be glad to share with them how to do that. Whatever decision needs to be made, Lord, we ask you that you do it right now. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.